Welcome to Dealer Driven, where the rubber meets the road to success. This episode sponsored by Carfax.
Carfax data shows that in the first year after a car purchase, 55% of car buyers won't return to the same dealer for service. The Carfax Lifetime Solution gives you the power of Carfax as a trusted source to compel your buyers to return for service. Contact your Carfax rep today.
Welcome to Dealer Driven. I'm Michael Hayes.
And I'm Cameron Wilson. 2025 was a banner year for dealers on Capitol Hill, notching numerous policy wins. In today's episode, we'll discuss those victories and look ahead to our members' legislative priorities in 2026.
Joining us are two members of NADA's legislative team, Yvette Rivera, Senior Vice President of Legislative Affairs, and Michael Harrington, Vice President of Legislative Affairs.
Together, they'll enlighten us on this year's legislative achievements, NADA's current priorities, and most importantly, what our listeners can do to get involved with their members of Congress.
Let's get started.
Yvette and Michael, we're so happy to have you. Welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you, Michael and Cameron.
Thank you.
Cameron, this is our first Christmas episode, so let's have some fun with that, okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure many of us are going to be watching that classic film, It's a Wonderful Life. Remember in that movie, George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart, gets to see what the world would look like if he had never been born. Let's take a similar journey with our guests today, but with NADA as our George Bailey. Specifically, what would have happened if Congress didn't act on the expiring tax provisions or did not reverse California's EV mandate? Michael and Yvette, please walk us through this alternate universe in which NADA wasn't there during the negotiations for the Big Beautiful Bill and how that would look for dealers today. What do you think our Pottersville might look like?
Well, Michael, it certainly would be much more expensive for not only dealers, but their customers. The One Big Beautiful Bill was a very important piece of legislation. Dealers should remember that all the tax provisions that affected dealers, and there was many of them, that passed in 2017 were expiring this month. So if Congress didn't act, all those tax provisions would have reverted to what it was pre-2017. And Yvette, you have the details on that, and some of them wouldn't have been good news for dealers, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'll just give you a few examples. With so many dealers being passed through entities, the Section 199A, the 20% deduction, was a huge priority, and that would have expired at the end of this year. There had been a new provision that was in the 2017 bill. So not only were we able to secure it, but we were able to make sure that that was permanent. So that should be really helpful for dealers. Another problem would have been at the end of the year, the top rate, which is now 37%, would have gone all the way to 39.6%. So if you can imagine a scenario where you take out for the pass-throughs, you take out that 20% deduction, plus you have an increased rate, that would have been a huge hit. And another problem is it would be very unfair, especially since the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act bill from 2017 had a 21% flat rate for corporations, so making it very difficult for dealers to compete. With many dealers being family businesses, we have for decades been working the estate tax and gift tax, and that would have actually doubled at the end of the year. And so that would have gone from 14 and 28 million for individuals and joint to 7 and 14. So just a huge difference. And in that situation as well, we made sure to make it permanent. Majority Leader Thune was a huge champion on that, especially in the farm states. But we really worked hard on that. Appreciate all the grassroots of dealers all across the country, the ATAs. We have some great auto CPAs who also worked closely with us. So you've heard a lot about the 100% bonus depreciation that's now permanent, the restored permanent EBITDA as the basis for deductibility cap. So there's a lot of great things in this bill. I encourage you to reach out to your CPAs before the end of the year And NADA really helped make a great difference for dealers and their employees and their customers.
I think the word that I heard there that was most interesting to me was permanent, because we can see what happens at the end of the year here when it's not permanent, okay, and all the stuff that happens. So congratulations on getting all that in there. That was, you know, longer than just the next year or the next 2 years.
Now, Yvette, I know that passage of that legislation was a very long, complex process. And I know you and your team of elves were working a lot behind the scenes. Were there any snags in the process or movements that needed to happen that NADA helped to fix? And what do you think the most important provisions were that NADA helped secure?
And we have a great team, an amazing team. Our office, we have an office on Capitol Hill. It's just steps away from the Capitol, and everyone worked so hard. I think one of the areas that we knew right away, right after the election, we knew that President Trump and that the Republican leadership was going to try to eliminate the EV tax credit. And so as soon as the election occurred, we started going to the Hill and making sure Mike Stanton was up there, Paul Mitri, our team, visiting with the key members of Congress and explaining the problem with EVs in terms of trying to get those off of the lots. Some of the congressional leadership was so angry about the EV tax credits under Biden that they were actually trying to eliminate them 30 days after the enactment of the bill, which would have just been a complete disaster. But we worked hard on that. And then partway through the process, the Senate Finance Committee came back with a provision that would have eliminated the tax credits for EV tax credits for leasing retroactively back to June. So another disaster averted, and we quickly worked to talk to the leadership, talk about how difficult that would have been, not only the confusion for dealers, but out there for consumers. And so that was something that was really important. And then there was also a provision that had to do with business salt and the deductions for state and local deductions. A lot of the states, about 35 states, have workarounds that allow for the pass-through entities to deduct their salt. And so that was almost eliminated, and we played a primary role in that as well.
Well, let's continue along with this wonderful life theme here. I love that anyways. Let's explore another alternate timeline, this time around the California's ban on gas-powered cars or ICE vehicles. Imagine we're stepping into that George Bailey moment here, Michael, but now it's legislation to stop California's gas ban. If that legislation had ever passed, what kind of a future would dealers and the customers be looking at today?
Michael, I think George Bailey, he'd be walking around Bedford Falls if that Congress didn't act.
Or maybe riding a bike.
Maybe riding a bike. Mary would not be happy. It would not be a Merry Christmas in Bedford Falls. So this is, I mean, talk about disaster narrowly averted. This was law. This was happening if Congress didn't act. The California Air Resources Board, which is an unelected state agency in California, finalized a regulation which actually banned gas-powered cars by 2035, and 12 other states followed that law. What a lot of people forget is this wasn't a manufacturer mandate, nor was it a sales mandate. It was a delivered for sale. So to comply, an OEM merely had to deliver for sale into one of the California states an electric vehicle. The problem is it started model year 26, which we're in the midst of right now, and it was a 35% mandate. So 35%, if Congress didn't act and pass this bill repealing this for Maryland, California, the Pacific Coast states, the New England states, a few others, a third of the vehicles delivered for sale, irrespective of market demand, had to be EVs. And every year it went up 43% the next year, all the way to 100%. So this was just, you know, they've even admitted they overplayed their hand and publicly. So Congress heard the pleas, frankly, of dealers saying, what is going on? And responded with repeal legislation, which passed the House on a bipartisan basis. 35 House Democrats voted for it. also passed the Senate on a bipartisan basis, signed into law. And just as a tax bill, some of the things in it are permanent. This is good, too. It did stop California from banning gas-powered cars, but it also prevented them from doing anything, quote, substantially similar in the future. So I don't think you're going to see state agencies coming out with bans on gas-powered cars again anytime soon.
Boy, it's not often we've heard the comment bipartisan basis very often. So congratulations again on that.
Well, our dealers did a great job bringing it to the attention of members on both sides of the aisle. And there's a lot of places, Michael, in the country, in Alabama, New Mexico, there's just no EV infrastructure. And Democrats in those states understood EVs, they're great vehicles, but the infrastructure in many parts of the country simply aren't there yet. And the price is also a little more than some of Americans of lesser means can afford, too.
I know it happened a little earlier this year, but I still look at it as a Christmas miracle. So thank you all for making that happen.
While competitors focus on sales, smart dealers build relationships with the Carfax Lifetime Solution. With transparency at every stage of the consumer lifecycle, Carfax dealers turn be-backs into buyers. Build your advantage with your Carfax rep today.
So let me switch to another Christmas story. In A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, the ghost of Christmas yet to come shows Scrooge where things are headed if nothing changes. Since we've covered all of the great things that NADA has done this year, I want to ask you to look ahead in the same way and explain to us what are the biggest challenges NADA will face in 2026.
I think you'd probably say the right to repair legislation. And that's also a ghost of Christmas past. This legislation has been around for, I'm not kidding, about 20 years. And it's gotten increasingly worse, I think, over the years. These independent shops should be able to get this information. There are already existing MOUs between the OEMs and the aftermarket industry. But now they're asking for a lot more. And this is even stretched so far as to, we believe the legislation could lead to independent shops being able to do a recall and warranty work, the extension of, you know, selling vehicle data information, cybersecurity concerns. There's a lot of problems with it. But we're finding that people going to the conversation previously about affordability and that there is an aspect of it and they're messaging this now as, you know, this help would help you make your car more affordable. And so because you would be able to reverse engineer parts and tools and all of that. And I'll turn it over to Michael to talk about that aspect of it.
Yeah. Thanks, Yvette. It's called Right to Repair, but it's very light on the repair and very heavy on some very onerous and expensive regulations and new policies. Just for dealers alone, there's a new liability in there. It injects more paperwork into the deal, which again, everybody is looking for a way. How can we get less paperwork in the deal? How can we get out of, you know, once you have your new car, you want to get home and not sit in the F&I office. This is more paperwork. But one of the most egregious things in the bill, which frankly just isn't drafted very well and deserves scrutiny by Congress, that's for sure, is it would actually, OEMs would have to turn over all the information necessary to aftermarket parts manufacturers to reverse engineer so they could produce aftermarket parts, including foreign aftermarket purchasers, including counterfeiters. So, I mean, think how what a crazy world it would be where you have a counterfeiter, say, in Asia, saying to General Motors, can you please send us all the information so we could reverse engineer a part to sell in America? This is the type of stuff that Congress actually needs to get in there and fix. To give you an example of what I'm talking about, Michael and Cameron, side view mirror, you remember the old days where it was just a bit of glass and some stainless steel. You could take out your calipers, you can measure it, you'd reverse engineer it, and you'd sell it at one of the auto parts store and for less. Well, today's side view mirror has sensors on it, has bells, whistles, and, you know, it has to be able to talk to one of the computers on the car. So they actually need these codes for some of their parts to work. And again, there's certainly a place for aftermarket parts manufacturers, but for Congress to say you must turn over your intellectual property to anyone who asks, well, that's just a recipe for mischief.
Well, what about some of the other items you mentioned, like what we talked about in the past, catalytic converter theft legislation, FET repeal? What's that look like for the ghost of Christmas future, I guess I would call it, and that's the ghost of Christmas yet to come. But what are we thinking along those lines?
There's going to be a surface transportation bill next year. It expires. That funds all of America's highways. It's a very popular bill. It's always bipartisan, and it will pass. And a lot of auto-related stuff ride on that bill. So like we mentioned, the right to repair bill, they're trying to get on that bill. There's other things that are dealer priorities, such as catalytic converter theft legislation. As you all know, that's a big problem for many dealers and for their customers, too. This would help combat that crime. FET repeal for our heavy-duty truck dealers. That tax goes all the way back from World War I. We're saying to Congress, you need to take a look at this. This is a very regressive and destructive tax. There has to be better ways to fund our highways. And also, very importantly, an autonomous vehicle legislation is also expected to be added to the surface transportation bill. And dealers need to be cognizant of that, because in the last autonomous vehicle bill, the bill would have infringed on dealer franchise laws as applied to AVs, autonomous vehicles. So we want to make sure that we're all for autonomous vehicles. If they're coming, great. Dealers will sell them, but they're still cars, and franchise laws not only protect dealers, they also protect consumers too. So we don't want Congress nullifying them.
Michael, just in case our listeners aren't aware, you mentioned FET. Can you explain what that is and how much that is on a commercial truck?
For a $150,000 diesel truck, it could be around $22,000. It's a 12% tax. It's quite high. For an EV, it's much, much more. Now you're talking $40,000 or $50,000, which is another problem why there's a lot of problems with EV heavy-duty trucks, but that a 12% tax certainly wasn't helping. Everyone agrees, Cameron, on Capitol Hill, this is an outdated tax, it's a dumb tax, but inertia is, you know, this tax has been around for over 100 years, and sometimes the inertia is so great, we really need to educate Congress on, in the 21st century, and we're a quarter way through it, we're still funding our highways the way we did in 1955. And it's a different world. Congress needs to update it. And getting rid of this tax is certainly one way to do that.
Absolutely. Well, with all the work that NADA's legislative team does, we all know that our members, our listeners, are our best advocates. And I think, Yvette, you mentioned earlier, you said grassroots advocacy. What would you say to dealers and their employees who want to help and be active in NADA's advocacy?
The most important thing is, I mean, dealers have the hometown advantage, which is great. And being able to keep up those connections with your members of Congress. There are so many new members of Congress, and there's a lot of new staff and very, very young members of Congress. We have to explain to them. A lot of times people even think that dealers take vehicles on consignment. You know, making sure that they understand the capital investments that dealers make. On this right to repair legislation, it has gained momentum because it has kind of like a bumper sticker appeal. It's an easy message. But so we need to be able to have those connections with members of Congress, but then also to be able to make them, you know, take a look at and dig into it a little bit more. And don't forget about the staff. The staff are really important. The district staff in particular, the state directors, a lot of times they have great influence and they can help make sure that the dealer voice is heard in Washington as well. And also, of course, getting in touch with your state association and being involved, you know, that's probably the number one thing. Our state ATAs are invaluable to us. They keep up to date on all of the different issues.
Yvette, I completely agree. There's so many important issues. Congress needs to get it right. Many times they want to get it right. And it's dealers telling them, here's how it works. The ban on gas-powered cars by California is a perfect example of dealer grassroots individually saying to members, saying, are you seriously allowing this ban to go through because it's going to devastate my business?
And having them come to the dealership and see what it's like and meeting the employees and seeing, you know, the affordability issues, you know, for them to be able to see what's on the lots right now, what's selling, what the technologies are. That's all helpful for our federal advocacy efforts.
So I think that could be our one takeaway. We always like to ask for one takeaway at the end of the show. What's the one thing? I know you mentioned that you could have a member of Congress visit a dealership. How can somebody make that happen? Do you have team members that can help a dealer make that happen?
Yeah, we have one person, Jason Todd. His role is advocacy and making those visits happen, or a lot of times just going to the district office, being able to sit in their office, get to know them and their staff, going to town halls. There are lots of different opportunities on the grassroots, and we're here to help you make that happen.
Wonderful. So we'll put Jason's contact information in the show notes. And so we hope that our listeners and our members make that connection and bring a member of Congress out to your dealership.
Terrific. Thank you. Yvette, Michael, thank you so much for all of your insights today. Not only today, but as you mentioned, Jason Todd and your whole team and helping educate all of the Academy members, as well as lots of 20 group members that visit and everything else and lead the Capitol tours, and to get people not only involved, but extremely interested in what happens, not only on the federal level, but on the state level. So thank you very much for that. And it's been great having you on the show, the special Christmas show especially.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for this episode. A huge thank you again to our guests, Yvette Rivera and Michael Harrington, for joining us. If you're enjoying the show, leave us a rating and review and tell a friend. Once again, I'm Michael Hayes.
And I'm Cameron Wilson. This has been Dealer Driven from NADA. Keep your dealership in drive, and we'll see you next time.